Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, October 2nd. Happy Thursday. Let's go ahead and start with our memory passage. It's from Matthew chapter 21, verse 32. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. This week, I'm continuing to read in the Message paraphrase. Our first passage is Isaiah chapter 33, verses 13 through 24. In the beginning, there is a warning against those who are sinning. Then there's an answer to the sinful, to live right, to speak truth. Finally, there's this hopeful message of God making all things right. It's a picture of the New Jerusalem, and I love how it says in the message that it is a place off limit to predatory pirates. Starting in verse 13, if you're far away, get the reports on what I've done. And if you're in the neighborhood, pay attention to my record. The sinners in Zion are rightly terrified. The godless are at their wits' end. Who among us can survive this firestorm? Who of us can get out of this purge with our lives? The answer's simple. Live right, speak the truth, despise exploitation, refuse bribes, reject violence, avoid evil amusements. This is how you raise your standard of living. A safe and stable way to live, a nourishing, satisfying way to live. Oh, you'll see the king, a beautiful sight, and you'll take in the wide vistas of land. In your mind, you'll go over the old terrors. What happened to that Assyrian inspector who condemned and confiscated? And the one who gouged us of taxes? And that cheating money changer? Gone, out of sight forever, their insolence nothing now but a fading stain on the carpet. No more putting up with a language you can't understand. No more sounds of gibberish in your ears. Just take a look at Zion, will you? Centering our worship and festival feast. Feast your eyes on Jerusalem, a quiet and permanent place to live. No more pulling up stakes and moving on. No more patched together lean-tos. Instead, God, God majestic, God himself the place, in a country of broad rivers and streams. But rivers blocked to invading ships, off limit to predatory pirates. For God makes all the decisions here. God is our king. God runs this place and he'll keep us safe. Ha! Your sails are in shreds, your mast wobbling, your hold leaking. The plunder is free for the taking, free for all. For weak and strong, insider and outsider, no one in Zion will say, I'm sick. Best of all, they'll all live guilt-free. That image of living guilt-free is such a beautiful image and a reminder of how we'll be in heaven. It won't be that we didn't sin in this life, but it will be that we are in the presence of God, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And all that we have done is redeemed in Christ Jesus. And we'll look to Christ, who is our righteousness. In the English Standard Version, this verse says, and no inhabitant will say, I am sick. The people who dwell there will be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah is painting a picture for us of a people who are released from the weight of shame and from continually reliving past mistakes. If you struggle with guilt over something that you've confessed to the Lord before, I just want to read some scripture over you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. And from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Let's move on to our second passage in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. I love the title and the message, Barnabas, Saul, and Dr. Know-It-All. The congregation in Antioch was blessed with a number of prophet preachers and teachers. Barnabas, Simon, nicknamed Niger, Lucius the Cyrenian, Manaen, an advisor to the ruler Herod, Saul. One day they were worshiping God. They were also fasting as they waited for guidance. The Holy Spirit spoke, "Take Barnabas and Saul and commission them for the work I have called them to do." So they commissioned them. In that circle of intensity and obedience, of fasting and praying, they laid hands on their heads and sent them off. Sent off in their new assignment by the Holy Spirit, Barnabas and Saul went down to Seleucia and caught a ship for Cyprus. The first thing they did when they put in at Salamis was preach God's word in the Jewish meeting places. They had John along to help out as needed. They traveled the length of the island and at Paphos came upon a Jewish wizard who had worked himself into the confidence of the governor, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man not easily taken in by charlatans. The wizard's name was Bar-Jesus. He was as crooked as a corkscrew. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul in, wanting to hear God's word firsthand from them. But Dr. Know-It-All, that's the wizard's name in plain English, stirred up a ruckus, trying to divert the governor from becoming a believer. But Saul, or Paul, full of the Holy Spirit and looking him straight in the eye, said, "You bag of wind, you parody of a devil, why? You stay up nights inventing schemes to cheat people out of God. But now you've come up against God Himself and your game is up. You're about to go blind. No sunlight for you for a good long stretch." He was plunged immediately into a shadowy mist and stumbled around, begging people to take his hand and show him the way. When the governor saw what happened, he became a believer, full of enthusiasm over what they were saying about the Master. And now from Psalm 82, verses 1 through 4. God calls the judges into His courtroom. He puts all the judges in the dock. Enough! You've corrupted justice long enough. You've let the wicked get away with murder. You're here to defend the defenseless, to make sure that underdogs get a fair break. Your job is to stand up for the powerless and prosecute all those who exploit them. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together from the book of Isaiah. I wanted to go back to verse 15 and read it in the NIV. Those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes, who stop their ears against plots of murder and shut their eyes against contemplating evil. These are the ones who will dwell in the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. Isaiah is reminding the people that they are called to walk righteously, and that is a call for us as well. But we all know that we find our righteousness in Christ. I heard a sermon by Tim Keller yesterday that talked about imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Imputed righteousness would be that first righteousness that we receive when we believe on the Lord Jesus. And even though we're not righteous, He imputes or gives us His righteousness just because we believe in Him. And sometimes as believers, we then switch into a works righteousness mode where we're like, okay, I got to work hard now to be righteous because God made me righteous. But he argued we have to continue to look to Jesus for our righteousness. We will never measure up. Doesn't mean we don't need to try. But the act of becoming righteous is continually looking to Jesus, the one who is righteous, and never ever thinking, okay, I can do this if I try harder, if I do more. He pointed to Stephen, who was stoned for his speaking a word for Jesus. And when he is stoned, he looks to heaven and he sees Jesus standing there. And he just said in that moment, he wasn't looking back to what he had done for the faith, but he was looking to Jesus, the one who is our righteousness. It's just something to think about as we wrestle through Isaiah, which seems to point us to like, okay, you've got to do the right thing. And that is who we are as believers. We want to do what is right. But it's not by this work harder and pray more kind of mentality that we can do it if we just put our will to it. It's more about focusing again and again our hearts on the one who is truly righteous. The one that showed Paul and Barnabas the way by his Spirit. And so as we end today, we really want to just pray, thanking the Lord for who he is and asking for the Lord to give us a vision of him. And then I want to pray an excerpt from the Diary of Private Prayer, which helps us to intercede on behalf of others. Will you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we look to you as the author of life. We thank you, Jesus, for the righteousness that you pour out on us. Continue to help us to look to you today. Give us visions of who you are when our thoughts are clouded by the many ways that we fall short. Turn our attention to how you completely obeyed. Help us, Lord, to become like you by beholding you. Lord, in your presence, we can't think only of ourselves, but of others. And so we lift these people to you today. We think of our friends, especially just someone that comes to mind. Of those we have worked or played with today. Of those who are in sorrow. Of those who are bearing the burdens of others. Of those who are alone in difficult or remote situations, working in lonely outposts of your kingdom. You are the one God and Father of us all. Be near to us and graciously watch over us. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.